in church tonight. Wow, this is much different than Mayville. I got to tell you, it's a lot bigger. We have about this much here. It's long like this, but it's about as wide. So I'm going to have a lot more room to walk around. And I can hear myself a lot better here, too. So I don't know if that's good or bad. Well, praise the Lord. Guys, excited to be in church. I am so excited. You don't even know. I'm so pumped. I'm so stirred. But, you know, first I just want to tell you, I got a name for my message. I was real blessed. Last week, it was last Wednesday, I was, do you have to stand right back here? You can move around and do whatever you want. Okay. Last Wednesday, I usually don't have this much room to walk around. I have like really 2 feet on either side of my pulpit. Praise the Lord. Something bigger's coming, amen, but we're excited for what we have, don't get me wrong. But last Wednesday, I was sitting on my porch working real hard and drinking coffee, and I was just, you know, I sit on the porch in the morning and pray and stuff and getting the word. And as I was, you know, this message dropped in my spirit. I'm like, oh, praise the Lord, that's good, you know, and I started taking notes on my iDevices. And as I was taking notes, I realized that it wasn't for my church, praise the Lord. And I went into the house and I said to my wife, who was she was in the kitchen at the time, and I said, you know, I got a message. I just got a message, and I said, I think I'm going to be preaching in Jamestown. Well, praise the Lord. And Wednesday night, we come to church, and Pastor called me in and asked me if I would fill the pulpit. So real exciting for me. There's some stuff that's been stirring for a long time that I really wanted to get out, so I'm really looking forward to that. But the title of my message is, What to Do When God Calls You Somewhere Else. Praise the Lord. And, this is something that I dealt with myself. Just kidding. That's not the message at all. Thank you, Bobby, for making that up for me. I owe you one. Well, praise the Lord. You can take it down now. That's not really the title of my message. Praise the Lord. You guys are in a real good place, you know, and you know, I want to take a moment to thank Pastor Tim and Pastor Katie for giving me the opportunity to be here, because it is such an honor. I know Pastor doesn't just let anyone in his pulpit. Sometimes, anyways. Just kidding. But no, he doesn't just let anyone in his pulpit. You know, God has pastor has a reason for it. And, you know, it's an honor to be able to be counted one of those people that can step up here and be in here. And I just pray that I do that justice. Praise the Lord. But today's message is called Bringing What You Have. Praise God. You know, the word will change you if you let it. Amen. I mean, the word will change you, but you have to let it. You have to let the word change. You aren't going to just get changed by sitting here in church. You got to let the word soak into you, and you got to let it become part of you. You got to follow the word. You got to do the word. Amen. But there's some points that that came to me when I was thinking about this message, bringing what you have, faith in God, and what He is doing is a choice. Amen. It's a choice. We choose whether or not we're going to walk the plan, fulfill the plan of God in our lives. He wants to do it, but we have to choose it. Amen? But choice is not choosing whether or not something is right or wrong. That's already established. You understand what I mean? Choice is opting for either the thing that is right or the thing that is wrong. Right. Praise the Lord. That's right. Everything all right? Okay. It's opting for either the thing that is right or the thing that is wrong. That's the choice. The choice isn't whether it's right or wrong or whether it works or it doesn't work. You know, and I was thinking, my wife and I have been trying to eat better, you know, and as we've been doing that, we've been watching calories and all that stuff. You know, the choice can be to eat the Twinkie, but the Twinkie, just because you want to choose to eat the Twinkie doesn't mean that you can also decide that the Twinkie isn't going to affect you the way a Twinkie might affect you, amen? And I had a few Twinkies in my lifetime, and now I've got to work to go the other way, amen, but it's still a choice. So trials and riches are both reminders of where our faith is. And as I was, you know, at first that's what I thought the message was going to be about, was trials and riches. Well, it actually is kind of, but trials and riches both affect us. And a lot of people don't realize how they affect us. A lot of people don't think about how they affect us. But, you know, there's plenty of examples in the Bible of both rich people and poor people. And the difference in them and the difference in their walk never had anything to do whether they were poor or whether they were rich. It always had everything to do with with their attitude and how they dealt with that. Amen? Or how they saw God, we'll say, in the midst of it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. So if you let the fact that there is a trial in life, I know I'm reading some stuff here. We're waiting to get into the good stuff. I'm just kind of, you know, we're just laying a foundation here. But if you let the fact that there is a trial in life rob from you, then you've missed the most fundamental thing about faith. You've missed it. If you let, and believe me, I'm not standing here as one who's got that nailed all the time. There's times where I've let it rob from me. Amen. I've let it try. I saw the trial and I let it rob from me. But see, faith doesn't see you through the trial. Faith sees the other side of the trial.
Amen.
Amen? And that's a lot of things that most people don't understand. And as I've been pastoring, as I've gotten to be blessed to go out and pastor people, one thing that I've noticed over and over and over again is that trials will come. Trials are always going to come to us. They'll come to everybody. They're going to come to everybody in the body. Amen? Everybody in the world. It doesn't matter if you're in the body or not. It doesn't matter if you're following God or not. You're going to see trials. So trials aren't the defining factor, but how we go through the trial and how we see God through the trial does matter. And the one thing that's hardest for people to see in the midst of the trial is the fact that God is still good. One thing that's hardest for people to see is that God is still the supply. Even when you have lack, God is still the supply. Amen? Praise the Lord. So faith doesn't see through the trial. Faith sees beyond the trial. And we have to get that mentality. We got to get beyond the trial. We got to get our minds and our hearts beyond the trial. We got to see ourselves beyond the trial. If our focus is on the trial, if our focus is where we're at, we're never going to go forward. If our focus is on what's going on around us, we're never going forward. We got to see something on the other side. Amen? When Jesus got in the boat, I always love using this example, but when he got in the boat and he said to the disciples, he said, "We're going to the other side." Amen? What did he say? So the Son of God, God in the flesh, said, "We're going to the other side." If they had just hooked up with what Jesus said, if they had just hooked up with what God said, they wouldn't have had a problem going to the other side. They would have been resting like Jesus was, but they weren't resting. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. Let's turn to our first scripture. It's John 16:33. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I love the Word. I love the Word because I've seen the Word do things that nothing else can do. The Word has absolutely transformed my life. Amen? That the Word has transformed, and everybody's lives will let it. And that's what I meant by when I said that the Word will change your life if you let it. Amen? John 16:33, and I always read out of the New King James Version, and I have a reason for this, and I'll just give it to you real quick because I can. The reason I always read out of the New King James Version is because it's in English. You know, see, Old English is, I know that it's close to English, but it's still a language in of itself. And I don't understand all that stuff. And I don't have time to understand all that. I like getting it plain and simple. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. John 16:33. "These things I have spoken to you." That was Jesus talking, in case you didn't know. "That in me you may have peace. In the world..." And this is what a lot of people forget. "In the world, you will have tribulation." Jesus said it. God said it. He said it to us. He wrote it down. He said it so strong that he also wanted us to write it down, or wanted to write it down so we could read it over and over again. He's telling us something. In this world, you are going to have trial. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. Trial's coming. Tribulation's coming. Things are going to come against you. Things are going to try to rob from you. It's going to happen. How many times? I mean, I've been there. There's been many times when I was in pastor's office and I was like, "Oh, pastor, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening." He's like, "Trial, it comes against you. But faith," and praise the Lord for people who teach you faith. Because until you get faith in you, you don't understand. Until you get it, praise the Lord, I love it. I love the Word, I love faith. I could say that 1,000 times, and I may say that 1,000 times, but I like to say that a lot because it's good, amen? "In the world, you will have tribulation, but," and I love the buts in the Bible, the Bible buts. We love Bible buts in Mayville, praise the Lord. That just always sounds wrong. Every time I say it there, it sounds wrong too. I don't know. But we love the buts in the Bible. "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Glory to God. Jesus overcame the world. It doesn't matter what you're going through. He already overcame it. Doesn't matter what's coming against you. He already overcame it. Glory to God. God did not leave you. He did not forsake you. He didn't then. He's not going to tomorrow. He won't in 3 days from now. He won't a year from now. God didn't forsake you. If something's happening you don't understand, well, that happens sometimes, and we don't always understand in the moment. But glory to God, God is still good, and He will, He is, He did already see you through the trial. Your victory's already there. You've already got it. You don't need any more victory. You've already got it. You got everything you need. Glory to God. You got everything you need if you stick to the Word of God. If you stick to what God put in there and He put in you, you have every single thing you ever need. I better get going because I got a lot of word here tonight. Glory to God. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hebrews 11:6. This is one of my favorite verses. I got a bunch of my favorite verses in here. But Hebrews 11:6, this is another one of my favorite verses because it teaches us so much. It's so big. So big. Praise the Lord. I'm at the screen. Praise the Lord. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. If we could stop right there and just look at it. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. If you want to please God, you got to have faith. Well, how do we get? Well, praise the Lord, I think we'll get there. We'll figure this out. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. Was something thumping? Oh, for me? Okay. And He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Diligently. Diligently in Old English, in Hebrew, in Greek, whatever language you want means the same thing, diligently. Yeah. We all know what it means, or do I have to look it up? Because I didn't look it up, so we might have to have someone else do it. Praise the Lord. If you diligently seek Him, you've got to be, it's a proactive thing. You've got to be an active thing. You've got to be doing it. You have to be diligently seeking God. You have to seek Him all the time. You can't stop seeking Him. If you stop seeking God, then you're not having faith. If you stop seeing the end, if you stop seeing what God said, you don't have faith. Praise the Lord. Well, how do we get faith? We get it from the Bible. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Genesis 12. I don't know what time we started. You watch? Did anyone see that? I mean, I know I've only been a few minutes here, but the first time I preached was right here, and it was in a mentoring group, and I made it 9 minutes long. Praise the Lord. And it took everything in me to get 9 minutes out. Everything I had. And I used to say, you know, and Pastor likes to preach and praise God for it. And I used to say, I'll never preach that long. And then I got a church and I started preaching. And there's something about, you know, it's different when you try a few things out, when you try it out a few times, and then when you step into that role, praise the Lord. But, I don't know how we got in that. But Genesis 12, we're going to start in verse 2 and read through 3, all the way through 3. Took me hours to put this together. I hope you understand. No, there's a lot. The thing is there's stuff. God's got stuff in you, and that's what I found. As something that I've learned as a pastor that has blessed me so much. And it doesn't just apply to pastors. It doesn't just apply to reverends or those in ministry or those who are in the ministry. It applies to everybody who calls himself a believer. Oh, yeah. You got stuff in you. Yeah. You know, Pastor Michael once said to me, he pulled me aside and he said basically something to the nature of what I needed was in me and I just had to pray it out. See, sometimes we have to seek God and find out. You know, of course, that was referring to the Holy, praying in the Holy Ghost and getting into your spirit and finding out what God has in you. But God's got things in you. He puts stuff in you. You may not know it, but He puts stuff in you. And guess what? You tap into it, it'll come out. Praise the Lord. It'll come out. Genesis 12:2. I love the promises of God. See, this is what I don't understand. Every single time, and I rant my church about this all the time, but people start talking about God not being good and God doing this stuff and that stuff. There is so much scripture. Do you understand? There is so much scripture in here that talks about how good God is and that He wants to bless the snot out of you. There is so much scripture to you. It's undeniable. It's undeniable. You can't argue it. There's no, glory to God. I will make you a great nation. We could just stand right there. That would be really great to stand on, wouldn't it? Because we're not really seeing that a whole lot right now. But I will make you a great nation. Will make you. The Bible tells us that we have a better covenant based on better promises. This was given to the Jews. If He's going to make them a great nation, what does He want to make us? But I will make you a great nation. And if making you a great nation wasn't enough, I'll bless you, glory to God. And I will make your name great. I will make your name great. See, when people hear your name, they're going to think, wow, that person's great. And you've got a better covenant based on better promises. God wants good things for you.
Amen.
I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. No, wait, I skipped some stuff. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing.
Yeah.
That is so important. You shall be a blessing. God didn't make us great for ourselves. He did, and that's the difference between the true prosperity message and the messed up prosperity message. God didn't make you rich so you could go around just driving your, I say my church a Lamborghini all the time and stuff like, not that he has a problem with the Lamborghini, but I'm going to tell you right now, he doesn't have a problem with you being rich if you do with it what you're supposed to do with it. And what you're supposed to do with it is you're supposed to divide it, to share it, to put it out there. And you don't have to be afraid because he's also promised seed time and harvest. So when we put out there, what's going to happen? It's going to grow. It's going to come back. And we're going to produce. It's going to produce more. Amen. Have you ever seen an ear of corn? Have you ever seen a corn kernel? You take one corn kernel, put it in the ground, and you get ears of corn. Well, hundreds of corn kernels. It's the same thing. He told us the same thing. Look at our finances. Look at everything we have the same way. And it doesn't just have to be finances. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. It's supposed to come through the people of God. Amen. It's supposed to flow through the people of God. It's supposed to start in us and flow out to the world. They're supposed to see the problem with the church today is that people don't see the church the way they're supposed to see the church. The church has been laying down, laying there defeated, laying there looking like a whooped puppy. The church has been laying there too long like that. But guess what? It isn't going to change until Christians decide that they're going to stand up and start getting into the flow of God, that they're going to walk into the promises of God. But you talk to most Christians and they don't even believe the promises of God if they even have heard of the promises of God. They don't know what God has for them, and it's their fault because he wrote it in a book. And then he produced many copies. And I don't care if you like King James, NIV, New King James, or whatever version. It's out there. There's enough truth in every single one of them to get you where you need to go. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All the families of the earth shall be blessed because of you. Because God is in you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Proverbs 11. Praise God. I am so thankful. You know, we started tithing years and years and years ago. And this is something, you know, a lot of people, I know sometimes you think about it when you're preaching it. You think, wow, people are all going to think, you know, you're always talking about that. You're always preaching that. You're the pastor of the church. You want to see money come into the church, or you want a bigger paycheck, or whatever they think. You know what I mean? But the thing is when you get a hold of a promise of God, and a lot of times, unfortunately, you don't get it until you're getting closer and closer to being more understanding in the things of God, and then you can be used more. So a lot of times it is a pastor, or it's a reverend, or a minister, or something, you understand, or leadership, because they have an understanding of God and the things of God. But when you understand the way, we wouldn't dare not do it now. We wouldn't dare not get. And see, the thing is, tithing is the most basic thing. And I wasn't even planning to talk about tithing, but just giving of yourself.
Yeah.
Giving of yourself to the church, being connected to the work that God wants to do. And the work that God wants to do is in your pastor. It's there all along. It was there the whole time. Praise God. Proverbs 11:24. This is another this is actually another, 25 is one of my favorite scriptures too. It's something that's just been, I've just been thinking about a lot. And I'll get into that more. Proverbs 11:24 says, "There is one who scatters, yet increases more." How can that be? Doesn't the world say that that won't work? Doesn't the world say that, well, if you give to this, you give to that, if you be generous in the name of the Lord, doesn't the world say that you won't, it's not going to get you anywhere? I don't know how many people I've talked to over the years, they've just said, they're like, I'm going through this trial, that trial, and I say, you got to tithe. You got to start there, and then you got a purpose to give. And they think, how is that going? There's one that scatters yet increases more. It's a principle of the Word of God. And there is one who withholds more than is right. But what does that do? It leads to poverty. Well, guess what? This scripture isn't just talking about tithing and offering. It's talking about anything that you're going to give. It's talking about anything that you withhold from the plan of God or from what God wants. Amen. There's nothing. I learned this from my pastor. And I thank the Lord for teaching that was so good that put me on this path. But if there's nothing I will hold back from God. There's nothing of mine he can't have. Anything. And sometimes I don't want to give it. Sometimes I give it kicking and screaming. Sometimes, but I give it. Sometimes I don't want to give it. Hey, let's just be real. Sometimes you don't want to do it. Sometimes you want to go out to dinner an extra time or something. Sometimes you want to buy that nice whatever, but you give it to God. Well, praise the Lord. The generous soul, and this is the one. This scripture keeps coming up to me. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. I got some understanding of this I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to share it with you, all right? Because it's blessed me. But I'll be sitting there, and I'll be like, I'll be at a restaurant or something, and I've eaten my meal, and I go to tip. You know, and I think, okay, what should I give for a tip? And we generally try to tip pretty well. But my wife was a waitress. That's where I met her. She was waitressing. And, you know, so I've learned the value of tipping a waitress. I know what they earn. Even a bad waitress. My wife was a wonderful waitress, by the way. That's why we're together, because she was so good. Praise the Lord. She's so good at waitressing. Or maybe it was because I was good at talking. I don't know, one of the two. But you know, you're thinking about what to tip, and you think, and this has been a lot coming to me. It's like, well, you know, I'll tip. Well, people used to tip 10%, and then it went up to 18%. And then I thought, well, 20% is good. 20% is a good tip. Well, if you're a waitress, and you'd be happy to get a 20% tip. But I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I look at that and say, you know what? I want to be a blessing, because he who waters will be watered. It doesn't say he who waters just the church. It doesn't say he who waters or she who waters just the people of God. It says he who waters. He who's generous. Generous is a lifestyle. Generous is it's something you got to work. It's something you got to decide. You don't stop with just a little bit. You don't stop. Average 20%, if that's the average, that's good for people who aren't children of God. Amen? Does it make sense? Well, praise the Lord. I mean, it's about a lifestyle. It's living that way everywhere you go. I mean, even sometimes tipping somebody. My wife and I were looking up the rules of tipping one day, and, you know, there's different, what do they call that? Protocol for tipping, you know, and you're not supposed to tip the proprietor of the establishment if they are the one who's doing it. I tip them anyways, praise God, because it's generous. You want to be generous. I want people to see me and think, yeah, that's a generous guy. You know what I'm saying? And that's the way what a lot of Christians are doing. They're walking around saying, well, you know, this is mine. This is mine. I worked really hard for this. It isn't yours. God let you have it. God bless you with it. But you know, when you give, it's coming back. Amen. You can't give. You can't outgive God, right? You can't outgive God. Praise the Lord. Well, let's get to this Mark 14. I went through a couple of, like, script one or two scripture there. It's kind of popping there. And I want to go to some longer ones. So we're going to go all the way up to, like, six scriptures here. So we went from 1 to 3 and 2. We're going all the way up to 6. It's very important. It's very important that you slowly increase. Amen. In the amount of scripture that you're reading. Praise the Lord. I don't know what that means, but I'm thankful that a few of you laughed. Praise the Lord. Is everyone excited to be in church tonight? You know, again, that's another thing. You know, people, be generous with how you go to church. I mean, seriously, if people realize how much of a blessing it was being in church, being connected to church, and then being at church, or just being able to go to church, if people really realize how much of a blessing that was, they wouldn't be missing church. Oh, yeah. Wouldn't be missing, because there's so much, everything in your life will change because you go to church. Right. If you get hooked up with the Word, amen, if you're a doer of the Word, praise the Lord. Mark 14:3. Did I say that? Yep. No, I didn't say that. Mark 14:3. Turn there with me. Praise God. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. I have absolutely no idea what that is. Maybe you do, I don't. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. I'm glad at least told us it was very costly. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? Well, I mean, you could preach there. For it might have been sold for more than the 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. She dumped oil on him. But she has done a good work for me, he says. For you have the poor with you always. And I love this because, you know, so many people today are afraid of churches having stuff, having a nice church building, having a nice whatever. But Jesus said, you're always going to have the poor with you. The fact that you have the poor with you has nothing to do with whether or not you should have a nice church building. It has nothing to do whether or not you dress nice. It has nothing to do with what kind of car you have. The fact that you have poor with you always has nothing to do with any of that. It has everything to do with who's in the world. Has everything to do with opposition in the world. But see, the whole purpose of the gospel, part of the purpose of the gospel anyways, was to preach the gospel to the poor. Why? Why would we preach to the poor? Why would Jesus need to preach to the poor? Why would he say it's important to preach to the poor? Because preaching the true gospel to the poor is what takes them and makes them poor no more. Glory to God. After you get the gospel in you, you can't be poor because you understand that poor is not who you are. You are not poor anymore. You're a child of the living God. He has everything. Therefore, you have everything. Praise the Lord. Why was it wasted? Why was that oil wasted? As if pouring oil over Jesus, the Son of God, would be wasting the oil. Right? I mean, you can waste things. You can go out and just be wasteful and not be a good steward of things. But honoring the presence of the Lord, that's wasteful. Honoring God in your presence is wasteful. Praise the Lord. For it might have been sold for more than 300. Oh, we said that, and I don't want to say that word again. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not always have. So you don't always have opportunity to sow into a building program. You don't always have opportunity to plant a new church of God. You don't always have an opportunity to reach people who have never been reached before. You don't always have that opportunity. You have a lot of opportunity to worry about your own stuff. You have a lot of opportunity to sit there and wallow in your own misery. Well, we don't do that because we're taught better, right? But me, you do not always have, or do not have always. She has done what she could. And that was the part that I really wanted to get to. She has done what she could. See, so many people are so wrapped up in what they can't do. And they're not doing what they could do. There's so many people who won't do the basic things. What could you do? You know, I was in here praying this afternoon. And as I was walking through, I walked by, there was a piece of paper on the floor. And I walked by it. And then I walked back and got it. Because that's something I could do right then, you know what I'm saying? But people don't think that the little things matter. But see, this thing, this is all that she had, but they thought it was a little thing. But then Jesus said, he goes on to say, she has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial for her because of what she did. What are you doing? I'm not saying, oh, you're not doing anything. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is, what are you doing for God? God doesn't care if it's little. God doesn't care if it's not that much. God don't care if it's a dollar. He doesn't care about that. He cares that you put it in. He cares that you gave it to somebody. He cares that you sowed into someone else's life. He don't care about that it's little. You know, when I was blessed a couple of years running to go on a bear hunt with several ministers from the church, and Pastor Scott Webb was there. And one day in the first year we went, you know, it really been, so he's somebody that I had been personally just desiring to be connected with. I just knew it. And so I went to him at one point during the bear hunt, and I said, we had a moment where I could just speak to him, and I said, you know, it's on mine and my wife's heart to partner with you. And he's like, oh, you know, and he sat me down, and he's, you know, just real kind and just talking about all the stuff they do for the partners and stuff like that. And I started getting a little bit overwhelmed, and I was like, Pastor Webb, like, we're not partnering that much. You know, it's only going to be like this to start with. And he said, what did he say to me? Do you remember what he said to me? Yeah, he said, small's a state of mind. He corrected me. He said, small's a state of mind. He didn't care whether it was $2, $5, $10, or $100. The fact that I was connected with what God was doing in his life and I saw that meant something to him. And he didn't treat me any different. You understand what I'm saying? Small is a state of mind. We got to stop thinking that small, that all we can, because that's what we, this is how we build our faith. We start with small. We're not going to start with a lot because we ain't got the faith for a lot. Amen? Praise the Lord. a memorial to her. I'm just ripping through this message, praise God. Going a lot faster than I thought. Maybe I should add more scripture. I think we got longer ones here. Yeah, because the next one is 9 scriptures. So we go from 6 to 9, jumping up 3. Has it been 25 minutes, Rev? 25 minutes? You told me you were going to leave at 25 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. It was just, no, I know. I was just a joke. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You see, that's I just got to do things the way I do them, you know. We'll see if I ever come back, if Pastor liked it or not. But I'm trying real hard. I'm just, praise the Lord. God anointed me. I don't know why he picked me, but he picked me. I tell my wife that all the time. I'm like, I don't know. A lot of people, even a lot of people. I know a lot of people in here, if you knew me then, a lot of people in here when they said that, you know, I was going to pass her, it's just like, I don't know. I don't know why he's going to pick him. Apparently, they're giving everybody a title now, you know. It's like, oh, praise the Lord. But no, you know, God has things to do, and he does it through all kinds of people. And thank God, you know, if he can, what's the saying? If he can use a donkey, he can use me, amen? Most of the time, anyways. Praise the Lord. Whatever will also be told as a memorial to her. I wanted to get back to that. It's just so important, you know, to understand that what we do, God, it matters to God. And when we come with faith, you know, and that's the whole thing. We have to come with faith. If we're not coming with faith, if we're not believing God for, if we're not believing God for a little, and then believing God's going to supply when we give that little, amen? Because it really means a lot more when you got a little. It means a lot more. You know, I remember the first time when we decided to start partnering with our own pastor, and you should do that. You should partner with your pastor. If any of my people in here, I'm not talking to you specifically, so praise the Lord. You know, I'm talking about to Pastor Tim's people now, but partnering with your pastor, somebody taught me about that, and it changed my life. And when I started partnering with him, you know, there was times when that was what I had. That was the last that I had. I wasn't going to have any more. I'm going to give it away. And I even, I decided on my own accord to do it. And then I remember later on down the line when the devil started coming and trying to rob that from me. And he's like, and he started saying to me, you know, I'd start getting these thoughts like, well, why does he get your money? I chose to give it to him. Yeah. I chose to partner with him or do whatever. It doesn't have to be money. You understand what I mean? It's just honoring that gift that's there. Amen. Oh, yeah. But the devil will try to rob from you everywhere, even when you decide, even when you've purposed in your heart to be good. God, the devil's still going to try to rob it from you because he knows what it's going to produce in you. See, it produced something in me. You know, I know Pastor Michael has said that he doesn't know why, but sometimes that those who are connected with him and more than just, you know, just a showing up level, we'll say. But those who are connected with him, those who pour into his life, his anointing and gift works better. And works more, amen. And that's an exciting thing. I want to be part of that. I want to, when somebody's here, when pastor brings somebody in, I want to be connected to what God's doing, you know. But the Bible, that's a biblical principle, amen. The Bible says that that if you honor the, or if you receive a prophet in the name of the prophet, is that how it goes? I'm saying it basically right. You'll receive the prophet's reward, amen. You get connected, and it's not just a prophet, it's other anointed people of God, right, amen. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 9. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is the big 9 scripture one. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. It really is a lot warmer under these lights. I just got to say that. When you wear a suit and you're wearing a t-shirt and then a shirt on top of that, because if you don't wear the t-shirt, and I've always thought about it, you're wearing the t-shirt in the summertime. I'm just giving you guys time to turn. But you wear a t-shirt in the summertime under a dress shirt in a suit. It doesn't make any sense, but they tell me it'll ruin the shirts if you don't, so. I mean, that's the way it goes. Just in case you guys didn't know, that's free, no charge. Yay, the deep things of God. See, all that dropped in me too, just now as I was standing here. Sometimes, you guys have to understand, sometimes I have conversations with myself in the pulpit. I just let you guys, hear it, partake. But I like to do that. I like to go on my, praise the Lord. We got good stuff in here though, amen? The word is always good. I don't care. I could get up here and read one scripture over and over and over again, and it would be it would help you just the same if you let it. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. Now we can waste a few more minutes. We'll let you turn there. First, I give you the chapter, and I'll give you the verse. The cheerful giver. I love it. It says that my Bible has these little titles in it. I don't know if yours does, but it says the cheerful giver. Praise the Lord. That's what we're going to talk about right now. But this I say. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. You know, I don't know about you, but it's real easy to just read over scripture and just read by, okay, yeah, reaping so and you bountifully, sparingly, you get that. But you really got to think about this. You got to let these things soak in, you know what I mean? He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Well, let's stop there for a minute. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Well, I don't purpose to give anything. Well, then you better get your heart checked. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, if you're not, again, we're not just talking about money. But if you won't give, if giving isn't part of your life because you are a child of God and you know who you are, then you got to maybe check and see if you are actually a child of God and know who you are. Because children of God, like my son Mark, great kid, love him to death, acts just like me. Sometimes it's the most frustrating thing, but he acts just like me. Why? Because he's my child. Amen. And we see it in the other kids as well, too. Most blatantly in Mark, but we see it in the other kids as well. Amen. But, you know, when you have genetics, when you have a certain DNA, when you got things in you of a certain nature, those things are going to come out. Amen. And because everything with God is determined by how we decide we're going to get connected with God, how we decide we're going to receive the word, how we're going to receive the things of God, everything is based around how we decide. Amen. We decide if we're going to exhibit the example of God. Amen. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. See, I can turn this into 18 scriptures by reading every one twice. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. It doesn't say God is able because he's able and not willing. See, if it says God is able, it also means that God is willing. God wants grace to abound towards you. And if you've been a person like me, you understand about God's grace. You understand God's grace working in your life. You understand what God wants to do in people. Amen. Because see, here's the thing. I can't stand here on my own accord. I can't preach on my own accord. I can't come up with things on my own accord. I wasn't searching through the scripture and just say, oh, this one is good. No, things were coming to my heart because I'm a child of God, because there's things in me. Amen. Praise the Lord. And is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Well, where is it? Well, we're going to find out where it is. Praise God. Because God wants us to have good things. But see, it all comes down to what we think about God. It all comes down to what we're going to do with it. It all comes down to who we are. Who we decide to be. If we don't continue in the work of God, if we don't get hooked up to the work of God, don't expect this stuff to work for you. If you're saying, you know what, I wanted this and I wanted that, but I know that they need this and that at the church. I know they need this and that over here, or this and that over here for the work of the ministry, because that's what God really cares about. Amen. God really cares about the work that he has to do. As it is written, See, that's the thing when you have a Bible that does things back to you. Sometimes okay. That wasn't as good. Sorry. It wasn't pre-planned, though. I had some pre-planned jokes, but I threw all those out. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplied seed to the sower. He who supplies seed to the sower. Guess what? If you ain't a sower, you don't qualify for this. If you're not sowing, he's not supplying seed to you. You want seed? Start sowing. Wait a minute. I ain't got a lot. It doesn't matter. Well, you want more seed? You got to start sowing. Sow something. I don't care what it is. Find something to sow. Sow your time. I remember there was a time when we didn't have any money. And I said, we've been tithers. For years we've been tithers, and we still didn't have any money. We didn't have anywhere. I said to Pastor Michael, I said, it's on my heart to do something for you. I said, I went through my pastor first, but I said, it's on my heart to do something for you. I'll give you a day of labor. Yeah. at your house for anything you want. I'll give you a day of labor. Well, one day ended up being months and months and months of labor. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. And sometimes it was hard. Sometimes sewing was just getting gas money enough to drive up to Fredonia and back because I didn't always know how I was going to do it. And then one day, I love this example. One day I was going up there, and now you understand, I didn't do all this on my own intelligence. Like, I didn't do all this because I didn't come up with any of this because I was so smart, because I was listening to God, because God was putting things in me. And one day I was like, I went up there and I decided to leave my tools. And then I drove my car home, and this was in late October it was. And I'm going somewhere with the story, I promise. But I drove my car home, and the next day I couldn't get my car running. Couldn't start, and I had to go back up there. He was expecting me, like I had like a bathroom or something torn apart. I had to get back up there and finish it, amen. And I was like, how am I going to get back up there? Well, praise God, Pastor Chris had a motorcycle at the time, and he had lent it to me. And this is late October, and it's cold. It was really cold this year. And I said, well, I got a motorcycle, so I hopped on that motorcycle and I drove all the way up the field like this. But I got there. But you know something? When Pastor Michael was in our church, when I had him in our church. In the first 5 minutes he was in our church, he went into a vision and had a vision and spoke up because of the connection. It was because of the connection that the Lord gave me and put in, and because I obeyed that to be connected. See, we're connected to him as well. I hear he's coming here too, praise God, but we're connected to him as well. But you have to understand the connections, those who your pastor is connected with, you need to be connected with. Because if you don't have that same connection, then you're not going to have the same flow, amen? Oh, where were we? What verse are we on? 10. Praise the Lord. Now he supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. Supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. The problem with a lot of believers that are not seeing the abundance of God is the fact that they don't have seed sown. They don't have seed that's going to produce harvest. See, people want the instant gratification, right? We live in a drive-through mentality society where you have it your way. You pull up, you get it, and you go. But that's not the way the things of God work, and that's not the way excellence works. That's not the way. You don't get things that quickly. See, sometimes you've got to work for something. Sometimes you've got to put in the time. Sometimes you've got to wait. Sometimes you've got to sit and wait for that thing to come. But you get excited, so you know it's going to happen, so you do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. While you are enriched in everything, for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. See, when we give liberally, it causes thanksgiving to God. It creates blessing to God, people blessing God. When they say, hey, wait a minute, those Christians are the stingiest people I know. How many times I've heard that? Those Christians, they don't give. Christians don't give. Christians, and I've heard pastors say it before, I've seen people in bars give more. Well, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of giving? Why are you afraid of giving? If you know who your God is, you shouldn't be afraid of giving. You should be anxious to give. Yeah. Amen? Amen? For the administration of the service not only supplies the need of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, not just those who are within, but everyone. They understand. You know, we were at Subway last night in Fredonia, and we were talking about a young man who also works at Subway with another person who works at Subway who isn't a Christian. And he's like, yeah, that young man, he's just awesome. He'll like just randomly buy people subs and stuff. It's speaking to people. See, it's speaking to people. When you're generous, it speaks to people. Amen? I know I said it's not all about money. It seems like a lot about money. But that's, you know, money is one of the number one problems. And I've seen that as a pastor in the short time I've been pastoring. And I know pastors see it. Money is one of the number one problems. But everybody's like, well, I don't have money. I don't have money. You don't have money because you're not doing right with your money. That's all there is to it. I mean, there's principles of saving. You know, you have principles of that. I'm not saying that you don't save. There's ditches on both sides of the road. You want to stay in the middle. But we got to be liberal with giving. We got to be into giving. Giving has to be something that you don't even that you don't even question. You know what I'm saying? You got to get to the point where you don't even question it. And again, it can be with your time. It can be with your whatever. It's how much have we been blessed for serving in the Ministry of Helps over the years? How much have we been blessed for just doing different things that pastors needed to do or that the church needed done? And sometimes when I say pastors need, you know, it's the work of the the need for the ministry. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What you do in the name of the Lord is credited to God in the eyes of people, in the hearts of men, as a blessing from God. They see God in you because you are a child of God and you're acting like a child of God. You're putting out there like a child of God is supposed to. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And these scriptures, now we're going to go to another section of scriptures. We're backtracking. This is seven scriptures. Matthew 7, or 14, verses 13 through 20. And this is about when Jesus read the 5,000. But I saw something in here. I saw something in here that it'll change your life. I mean, I promise you. If you listen to me, it's going to change your life. And verse 13, because when you start putting this principle, when you start saying these things, now you might not like how I'm saying it, but you take these scriptures home and you mull over them and you start thinking about what I've said about them, and it's going to start doing something in you, and you're going to start seeing it in all areas of your life. Praise the Lord. Matthew 14, verse 13, starting verse 13. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them. And he healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But you know what? I think Jesus wanted to stay gathered with the people. You know what I'm saying? To be where the people of God is, that's an important thing. And Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's surely not enough, right?" He said, "Bring them here to me." See, because Jesus had faith. He said, "Bring what you got to me. Bring what it is, whatever it is you have, bring it to me." Amen?
Yeah.
Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. They had so much abundance because somebody was willing to bring what they have. They said, "I don't have enough," but God said, "It don't matter if you have enough, because I'm the God of more than enough. I'm going to take what you bring, and I'm going to make it something great. I'm going to take what you bring in faith to me, and I'm going to make it great. I'm going to do something with it that's going to bless thousands of people, and it's going to bless generations and generations and generations, because I am God, and that's what I do." Praise God. See, people say, "Oh, God, if you only gave me $1 million, I'd give it to the church." He said, "I don't need your $1 million. I need your $10. And when you give that to the church, I will multiply it. You don't have to." God says, or a pastor says, "I got a building fund I want to do. We need to raise $50,000. And people say, "Well, I don't have $50,000. You don't have to have $50,000. All you have to do is have faith to bring what you got. What you're willing to give, what you purpose in your heart, and purpose in your heart to get big, because you want to reap big. You want to bring more back into your life so you can go out and give more, so you can be a bigger blessing." And don't think the devil won't try to rob it. He's going to try to meet you every step of the way. He'll try to rob it. But it doesn't matter, because your focus is not on the devil. You don't care about the devil because he's already defeated. The only thing you care about is the fact that your God is big. The only thing that you care about is who your God is, and the fact that you are a child of God, and he has never left you or forsaken you, and he isn't going to leave you broken, busted, and disgusted. He's taking you from glory to glory. He's taking you to a higher level. He's taking you into greater things. And my friends, if you would just get hooked up with him, he wants to show you some really, really great things. Glory to God. God loves us. God wants to have baskets left over. But see, we shouldn't even be living out of our paycheck. We should be living out of the abundance.
Yeah.
We shouldn't even have to worry about that. But we have to get faith. We have to allow that faith to be built in us. And how do we get it built in us? Well, we get in the Word and we see it in there. And we allow it to do something in us. And we get into it again. And we say, Lord, I'll operate the way you want me to. When the Lord puts it on your heart, Pastor Nancy's talked so many times about doing what's on your heart. As each man purposes in his heart, when you're hooked up to the plan of God, you want to do the things that God wants you to do. Yeah. Amen. 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 Faith doesn't believe for the money. Faith doesn't believe for something. Faith believes God. We have to understand that. We have to understand that faith is not about what you're facing. Faith is about who God is. Amen. Remember, you have to believe in who God is. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that's what the faith is. The faith is about believing the nature of God. It's about believing who he is, the God of more than enough. He gave us abundance all over this beautiful planet so we would know. But see, the thing is if people say, well, it doesn't look like that. You're not focusing on the God. You're on the God. You're focusing on the problem. Amen? Yeah. Then that's not faith. The problem with people's faith is that it's on the supply or the thing, and it's not on God. It doesn't matter what you need because God is bigger. Yeah. It doesn't matter what you're facing because God is bigger. He's already bigger. He doesn't have to make himself bigger. He doesn't have to try to be bigger. He's already bigger. Yeah. And see, you got to understand that. And when you understand that and let it get into you, and you know that, when you get that, you have to remind yourself. Sometimes I have to remind myself. And I say, listen, there's a need here, but God's bigger. I know my God's bigger. We have to believe God bigger. We have to believe God for more. See, if we're focused, if we're always like, well, God, I got this bill. I believe you. No, we don't need to believe for the bill. We just believe God. You don't need to believe that the bill is going to get paid. If you know who you are in Christ, it's going to get paid. You just got to believe it. You just got to trust God. Amen? Amen? It doesn't matter what you owe, God is more. It does not matter. I will repeat this over and over. We'll stay here an extra hour. I'll keep repeating it. It does not matter. It does not matter. God is bigger. It doesn't matter. God is bigger. Have we got that? God is bigger. He's bigger than the trial. He's bigger than the problem. Then what am I fretting about? What am I getting stressed about? If you thought, God, where is it? How many times have you said, I know I've said that, I'm guilty. Well, where is it, God? You're not in faith. Right. Faith doesn't say where it is. Or where is it? Faith knows that it's coming. Right. Faith just knows. Amen. We need to start thinking bigger. We need to believe God bigger and trust his supply. We have to trust that he said, I have a supply. He told us over and over and over again, I've got a supply, because he wants us to know that we have a supply so we don't think about the supply. When you know who your God is, you know his supply. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. I got one final set of scriptures here. Matthew 6, starting in verse 31. You know, so often we read over these scriptures and we just think, oh, yeah, that's nice. And we may say them for a day or so, but we don't let them soak into us. We don't let them become part of who we are. Jesus, it says Jesus is the Word. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the Word. I taught my people that there isn't a difference between Jesus and his Word, because Jesus is the Word.
That's right.
You wrap your minds around that. Jesus is the Word.
That's right.
So he is not separate from his Word. His Word and who he is not different. Right. It's the same thing. Yeah. Jesus is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. There's a reason for that correlation. There's a reason for that. And guess what? You are joint heirs with Christ. That means you're part of the same bloodline. You're part of the same supply. That's who you are. That's who you are. This is who you are. You got to, a long time ago, I think it was my pastor said that the Bible is your mirror. Yeah. We should look at this. That's me. Yeah. Glory to God. That's why we get excited when we get in the Word, because we don't get sad at the Word. We get excited for the Word. Amen. How many churches throw out the Word? They don't even have the Word anymore. Without the Word, we're nothing. Without the Word, you're going nowhere. Without the Word, you can't have. Without the Word, there's no hope. There is no hope. Out there in the world, there's no hope.
That's right.
You know, people want to quit and give up when trial comes and stuff, and I understand. I've been in that place. I understand. Well, what's the point? Might as well give up. Well, let me tell you something. There's no hope out there.
Right.
There is no more hope. When you return to the vomit, all you're going to find is vomit.
Yeah.
You're not going to find gold in vomit. You're not going to find blessing there.
Right.
All you're going to find is the same disgusting mess that you left.
That's right.
You got to stick with the Word. You got to stick. What else are you going to do? Yeah, that's one of the scriptures I love is when Jesus really said something that really got people mad. It really just really burned them, you know. And how many times has pastor said something that just burned you? Pastor Tim has never had. But I know I've said some things that burn people. You know what I mean? You can say things that burn people. Jesus burned them. They couldn't handle what he was saying. They didn't like what he was saying because it didn't fit their religious blah. It didn't fit their ideas of what religion and their tradition said it should be. It didn't fit those categories. It was different. And so they didn't like it. I felt like my shoe was untied. They didn't like what he said. And so they all left him. Bye, Jesus. Well, congratulations, people. You just left your Savior, your Messiah, the Son of God. You just left him. And I love what his response is. He doesn't say, oh, my gosh, what did they do? Where are they going? Oh, no, what are we going to do? No, he turned to the disciples and he said, you want to go too? Because if you're not going to believe me, that's the same path you're taking. Amen. If you're not going to believe in God, if you're not going to trust in God, there it is. There it is. What choice do you have? Well, I'm going to tell you, I came from the world. Now, I was in church when I was young, and I know some of you have heard my testimony. Maybe most of you have heard my testimony. I was in church when I was young, and I came, and I walked away from church. I walked away from the things of God, even though I knew better. I walked into other things, even though my spirit inside me screamed and said no, and I started going deeper and deeper and deeper into things that I didn't want to be into. But I wouldn't listen. I didn't listen to the calling of God that kept calling me back. Well, eventually I listened because it got to the point where I was going to either die or I was going to have the things that I want. But you have no hope outside of the Word of God. And I'm tired. I am tired. I see Christians on Facebook, they say, or wherever, and I'm not on Facebook all that much anymore. I know that I have been in the past. You know, I forgot to take the selfie. Remind me, I got to take a selfie before we leave. But people, and you'll see these things come up every once in a while. They'll say, oh, God has seen you struggling, or the angels have seen you struggling. I love these, right? I don't really love these. It really makes me mad when I see them. I always want to yell when I see them. Sometimes I want to punch things. Sometimes maybe I do punch things when I see them because I don't like them. Because it just shows how stupid people can be sometimes. It shows the fact that they're not in the Word. But people, you know, God has seen you struggling and God cares. And if any of you posted that, please forgive me. We talk about it afterwards. But I love you. You know that. I'm not talking about you directly because believe me, I've been stupid a lot. I've done a lot of stupid things, but. Maybe more than you. So if you posted that, I've been dumber than you, and we'll just leave it at that. And other things, but I didn't post that. But you know, I mean, you posted. I didn't post that. But I've done other dumb things. You know what I'm saying? But God has seen you struggling. He wants to fix two things in your favor. God doesn't care about the two things. He wants to fix everything. All he wants you to do is have faith enough to believe him. He just says, "Just child, come to me." He doesn't. God is not a lucky rabbit's foot. He is not a wishing well. He's not. We don't have to hope as the world hopes. We have an expectation because we know who God is. And if we don't know who God is, it's our own fault because, well, Pastor tells us and the Bible says so. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew 6:31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. The people of God don't seek these things, or they're not supposed to seek these. These are what the Gentiles are after. See, they're out there worrying. But see, so much of the world has gotten into the church that you can't hardly tell the difference half the time. You can't hardly tell the difference in people half the time. I have seen people who should know better, who have had years and years and years and years and years of training, and they have no idea. They have no idea. And why? Because they just don't get into the Word. They just don't see it themselves. They don't allow themselves to see it. They don't allow it to change them. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows, he already knows that you need all these things. Do you ever go, God, why? Why is this happening? God didn't do it. Don't ask him why. God is not a why God. God is an answer God. You don't need to know. All you need to know is that he's good and that he'll take care of it. The answer was already given. If you're asking God why, it's because you don't know the answer. It's because you haven't done your part to get into the Word and find out what that answer is. You want to know why? Because there's tribulation and trial in the world. Jesus told you already. He ain't going to answer you. You know, so many people that want to fleece God, they want to fleece God, they put the fleece out and get answers, and they want all their hocus pocus. We have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us who wants to speak to us every single second of every single day, will guide you into all things, will tell you all truth, will show you everything you need to know that pertains to your life. All you got to do is look there. All you have to do is go there. But dear God, when Pastor talks about getting filled with the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues, people are like, ooh, that's weird. That's weird, right? That's a goofy thing. Well, praise the Lord. I've seen lots of people filled with the Holy Spirit, and I've seen their lives change. I've seen my life change. I don't care. I don't care if the church down the road isn't doing it, because you're not seeing the things in the church down the road you're seeing in this church either. You're not seeing the lives change. You're not seeing the people, the marriages restored. You're not seeing bodies get healed. And why is that? Why don't they see those? If you believe that garbage, then that's what you will have. If you don't believe the word of God, then you are not going to have the word of God. It is what it is. It either is true or it's not true. And if it's not true, then don't go to your dead church anymore either. Don't waste your time. Go to the Moose Club. Go to wherever else you want to go, because you're going to get something better there if you don't believe it. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But, here's one of those good buts. Amen. Praise the Lord. One of those good Bible buts. But seek first. Not seek second. Not seek after you paid your bills. Not seek after you figured it out. Not seek when you know. No, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek it first. You go there first. You go to the kingdom of God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All these things shall, I don't think you understood that. I don't have to go out and look for those things, because all those things, when I'm doing the word of God, when I'm being what God has called me to be, and I'm not talking about being perfect, because you ain't going to be perfect, but all those things will be added to you. They will come. They will appear. They are a byproduct of it. You can't help it. I can't use that example, but it's something, it's a byproduct of it. You understand what I mean? It is undeniable that it will happen. It will be there. It has to be there, because God said it will be there. But see, what people do is they get there and they give up. They give up on it. Well, it wasn't happening. You didn't last long enough. Why? I lasted years. You didn't last long enough. I will go to my grave believing the word of God, because I know the word of God is true. I don't care. If I screw up and I miss it somewhere, God will tell me in heaven where I miss it, because the word doesn't fail you. The word will never fail you. And until you get that, until you understand that, until you believe that, you aren't going to see the fullness of God. Now, see, it starts with things, and God's got grace. When you're a baby, you come in, you start tithing, you'll see blessing, praise the Lord. When you've never done it before, you'll see it. When you start giving, you'll see blessing, but you're not going to see the fullness of that blessing, because God works things in us. God does things in time, amen? Some things happen over a course of time, but you can't do it if you're not being faithful. Well, praise the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God. I heard of a minister saying that all these things I have, I don't have because I believed God for them. I have them because I did his work. I put into his work. I was faithful to him. I faithful to what he called me to do, what he called those over me to do. I was faithful to that, and he added those things to me. You'll turn around one day and you'll go, dear Lord, where did this come from? My wife and I were just saying, Ezra is 7 years old. 7 years old. And we can count just, I mean, almost on one hand, how much we spent like just a couple $100 on clothes in her entire life. Why? Because God supplies. He supplies through people. And that's why he needs people to do things, because he's going to tell you, do this, do that. And if you do that, then he'll bless somebody and people will be blessed. But all those years, the only things that we've had to buy for, the only things we've actually bought for, are just things that we desired to do, buy. Just because we wanted to buy them, not because they were even in. We could say it this way, we have never had to supply a stitch of clothing for her in her life. 7 years. Do you know how much clothing a little girl can wear in 7 years? Praise the Lord. Our supply is not just for us, and we have to understand that. I'm going to get real, real ready to close, because I ain't got no more scripture. We're supposed to live off the leftover. I believe that. There is work to be done, And if our focus is on our lack, we'll never get that work done. And that's the whole ploy of riches. See, you know, and I was going to go to some other scriptures. I had scriptures of the rich young ruler, you know, who came to Jesus and said, oh, I've done all this stuff good. What do I need to do? And he said, sell everything you have, give it to the poor and follow me and take up your cross and blah, blah, you know, all the other stuff. And what he was saying by that, he wasn't saying that it's wrong to be rich, but he was saying your riches have you. Right. Give them up.
That's right.
Give them up and come follow me. But see, again, the thing people forget is that God's already said that if you give, it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So even if he gave, see, and that's the thing, he just didn't trust the word of God. See, trusting God, sometimes we don't know why. Sometimes we don't know that if we give this, we don't know what the blessing's going to be on the other side of it. Sometimes we don't know what we're gaining out of it, so to speak. And not that you give for gain, but you don't know what you're going to receive on the other side of it. Sometimes you don't know. You just believe God because you know that it's going to be good. And see, that's all he had to do. If he trusted in the word of God, he would have seen that. But then you also see poor, the poor people. You also see them with the same thing. There's people that would give, but there's people that wouldn't. They'll withhold because they think, well, I'm poor. Well, if you withhold because you're poor, you're never going to go forward. So either way, you're not going to see the blessing of God. So either you're rich and you can screw it up, or you're going to be poor and screw it up. It has no bearing on whether you're rich or poor. God wants you rich. That's all there is to it. If you got rich because of the world, that doesn't mean God necessarily did it. But you have to understand that if you have that, if you have that abundance, you're under the same amount, the same requirement to give as everyone else. Amen? If our focus is on what we do or what we don't have, we'll never do what we are called to do. And this is a point that I really wanted to make. If you are called somewhere, then you are anointed to be a supply there. And this is the thing that we have to really, and I want to go into just a little bit more, because I want you to understand, you know, when I never understood it, a pastor take up special offerings, and one year it pertained to us, it pertained to us and the Hermans. We're getting launched out to start a couple more churches, you know, and pastor said, we need to raise this much money, and he put it before the church, and of course we gave to that, we got hooked up with that, and you'll give more. I was guilty of that. I gave more because we were connected with it at the time, because it was something that I understood. Well, as we got out there, we started realizing, we started seeing the people come, and we started seeing the people that it reached, the people that it affected. It started seeing the work that was being done. And when you look in those faces week in and week out, and you start to understand the value of the money that you release, you understand that being connected with a supply was so much more than giving a few extra dollars. It was so much more. There was so much more that was into this building. You know, when we were up in that building, there was 150 people roughly, or somewhere around there. We got in this building, the number doubled.
Sure.
The number doubled of lives that are changed, lives that are helped, lives that will never be the same because people got connected. And I'm going to be honest with you. When Pastor first started asking for money for that building program, I didn't want to be part of it. I'm like, why is he constantly? He's constantly asking about this. Constantly. Well, I'm going to give you a little clue. And this is something that I've learned. God will stir things in your pastor's heart. Our job is to get hooked up with that vision. See, because God ain't going to give the vision, the big vision, to everybody. He ain't going to give it to everybody. God is a God of order, and he does things in order. He doesn't give it to the eggs. He gives it to the hens, right? You understand? He gives it to the, that was a bad example, but I don't know why I use it, because I know nothing about hens or eggs, other than they both taste good, right? We eat hens, right? Yeah, okay, praise the Lord. Thank God for a farm girl. But, you know, we have to understand that God gives things in order, and he'll put things in your past. He'll stir things in your past. Our job as faithful people is to hook up with that. And you know, I didn't even realize, I guess, to today. I mean, I know that pastor is, you know, it's been on his heart to start this, the Erie Church. And I know that people have hooked up to it and stuff like that. But I encourage you not to lose steam on that. You stay connected to that all the way through to the end. We are, as a church, we sow into that. We sow into other works. Why? Because we believe in the vision that is put forth.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you and if you want God to operate in your life, if you want God to be doing wonderful things in your life, then you need to seek first the kingdom of God. And part of that is being a supply. And if you are in the place where God has called you to be, and guess what you are? You're here. Unless you were called to Mayville, then don't, you know, you're not called here, you're called to Mayville. And I just say that because there's some Mayville people here, you know, and maybe a few extras we'll take with us next week. We don't know. But No, don't, because I don't want to reap that harvest either. Glory to God. But that's all a joke. You guys understand that's all. Yeah, praise the Lord. Bob and Chris, it's all your fault. But they came with us. They left their pastor to come to us, but praise the Lord. No, that's just a joke. They were called pastor, you know, it was pastor's idea, in fact, so praise the Lord for them. But they've been such a wonderful help, and they've been such a blessing to us. And of course, they're starting to see that in their lives as well, and they're reaping, and there's so much more. You guys know that. But praise the Lord. Where was I going with that? You get hooked up to the vision, because it's so important to be hooked up to whatever vision is. If pastor says, you know, I learned this from staff, pastor, I learned this on staff the hard way, but if pastor says the lawn needs to look nice, then you better make sure the lawn looks nice. And if you're on staff, you'll know what I mean by that. When he says do something, you better make sure it gets done. Amen. With, you know, volunteers, of course, we can, you can be more lax. I'm just kidding. Don't be lax if you're a volunteer. You want to do it the best, because you'll never get promoted unless you're faithful to those things. But get connected with that, because you are a supply. If you have a little bit, then you offer that little bit, whatever it is. And wherever you want to increase, you know, I've heard so many people say, and it's true, if you're believing for a mortgage payment, then sow into somebody's mortgage. You know, we're believing for a church building. Our church sowed into other church buildings. And we'll continue to do that. Why? Because that's what generosity does. The people of God are called to be generous. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you got to give. It doesn't matter what's on your heart to give. I don't care if it's more than you even think that you've ever given before, and you don't think that you can do it anyways. Just do whatever's in your heart. Follow the leading in your heart. You got to go with that. It doesn't matter. God will supply. It will come back to you. It will. It has to. And if you don't believe it, like I said, go down the road to a different church and enjoy that one. Praise the Lord. Well, I think that's all I got for y'all. I love you guys. Thank you so much for putting up with me for a little bit of time here. Well, a little bit more time, I thought. But praise God. I'm just so thankful for this work. I'm going to tell you, stay connected, stay connected, stay connected. It is so important. When I mean stay connected, it doesn't mean just show up. Be connected. This is your church. You look at your church like your church. Take ownership of it. It's your pastor. Take ownership of it. My pastor. It's got to mean something to you. The whole thing's got to mean something to you. And watch what God does in your life. Amen. Yeah.